Let's offer a prayer of understanding. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have guided us to the second week of the NYTS. We thank you. You continue to guide our classes. Even though some members were sick, but most of us were able to sustain and be persevere through your grace and your power. We are able to make it till this day. Lord, we like to really be equipped to be used in your kingdom. There is a great value to serve you. You are the one true God who came to this earth 2,000 years ago, and you used your words to edify many souls. And today, entrusted this word to your church, and hope that your soldier, your youth, are able to also carry on the baton, carry on the mission to preach the gospel to the to all nations. We pray that you move more people to have willing heart, have a willing heart to serve you, especially in to desire the gift to be a prophet, to prophesy for you, to edify your church. We hope that it gives us energy and we can understand what has been shared and many of us can be edified. We pray in this way, may all the glory and praise and honor unto your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. we talk about preparation. Talk about spiritually prepare. And mentally prepare. Now, we are going to talk about actual preparation today. So, now if you have desire, if a desire heart to really serve the Lord in this capacity, what do you do from today on? What you can do to prepare to be a good word of a deliverer, a sermon speaker. First of all, you got to determine to know the Bible well, because we are to preach the word of God. The Bible is the inspiration of God, is the breath of God. Every time you read it, it will be. You most very likely you are going to have different inspiration. So, yeah, there is no other way but to get familiar with the Bible. When I first came out as a new preacher, I really do not know how to start to prepare for sermon. And there was a senior preacher encouraged me, you read one passage. The same passage maybe. You want to preach that passage. You read it every night. You pray about that passage. For that week, you read it every day. And then for 7 days later, every night you are going to receive different inspiration. And then you can organize it and to edify one another. So how many of you really finish reading the Bible at least once? Raise your hand. Probably less than one third, right? Now, when you want to preach the Bible, not only you read the Bible to the point you got to really meditate about the Bible. Like many of you, I realize that you are preparing for this graduation sermon speaking part. I sit with you eating, and you are actually meditating about the Word of God. I sit there, you do not look at me, you just meditating, right? So it's really like Psalm chapter 1 says that you meditate day and night, and you are like a tree planted by the river. That's how it is. We should not only read the word of God, but meditate about it. And secondly, you can see when Jesus speaks sermons or he preached, we can see that he used a lot of things that you can observe on this earth. Like he talked about the lily of the valley. He talked about the birds in the sky. He talked about the seed in the field. He talked about be a fisherman. 得人如鱼啊, 得人如鱼, a man, a fisher of men. Now he used your daily life observation like light or salt and talk about you shall be the salt of the world and you shall be the light of the world. Not only you are get familiar with the Bible, really a lot of truth was written, a lot of truth are written in the nature. That's why, you know, if you want to learn to be a sermon speaker, you should not to be a 低头族. You lower your head and serve all the time, you know. You should be a natural observer. Look at your chicken. From chicken, you can learn a lot of sermon lessons. I'm honest. Try to plant some vegetable. From the growth of vegetable, you can learn a lot of truth. Try to raise some parakeets. From parakeets, you can learn something, you know. If you serve all the time, you are a receiver of messages, but you are not a thinker, an author. You are a learner. But when you observe, well, you become you can observe the nature. You always learn something from the nature at the same time. You can be a more creative person. Really, the word of God is written in the nature. Huh? Let's read Psalm 19, verse 1 to 4. Psalm 19, 1 to 4. Psalm 19, 1 to 4. Daniel from San Diego, is that right, Daniel? Please read. Okay. So the 诸天, heavens, 穹苍, pavements, 穹苍, how do you say 穹苍? All the natures, right, talk about the knowledge and the words of God. This is sound of silence. Verse 3, right? No word, no sound, yet they are teaching you something, right? This is really amazing. So, if you are a sermon speaker, very likely you will be a nature lover. You like to enjoy nature. You just enjoy God's creation. And you can learn a lot from them. That's how Jesus did it when he was on earth, right? And then you should learn to collect testimony. Well, when you try to learn to be a sermon speaker, you pay attention to how people share about their life transformation. Because the word of God is really not dead. They can be experienced. Many people can touch it and have feeling about it. You may not be able to experience everything in your life concerning the teaching of God, but you are able to learn from your fellow brothers and sisters. When they testify, you should pay attention to it. And then if you're really touched by that type of story, you should write it down, and it will become part of your supportive material when you give sermon. So, like in the Bible, we can see that Jesus talked about a lot of stories. And our testimony basically is they are stories. They are people's life. They are real life stories, like prodigal sons. In the book of John, maybe you are aware of it. They are specific, special. Collection of miracles, seven miracles that was collected by John. They are not in Chronicle. They are just to introduce that Jesus is Son of God. So use those seven miracles to prove that Jesus was or is the Son of God. So again, testimony is very powerful. Sometimes you can go to TJC's website to read some testimony. Another thing is that you should learn to learn sermons more. I enjoy listening to the sermons myself. I feel like even spoken by some brothers, I always feel very edified by it. This is my personal feeling. I feel like if you are able to listening to 1,000 sermon tapes from the internet, not only you can listen to that, you are able to catch the structure of those sermons, right? You know their points and what Bible verses they use, what kind of supporting material they use. Then you hear about it, then eventually become one. You become one of them. 所以真的只是下功夫啦. So really, all you need to do is really put your hearts into it. I really want to serve in this capacity because you tell yourself, I really want to learn to serve in this capacity because I know I myself will be edified. And it's very meaningful work. That's why you want to 下功夫. You really want to do your very best. Tempa Church is it's not a big church. And sometimes at the beginning, we are struggling to find an interpreter. One day, I don't know who I can use for interpretation. And a sister said, use my son. I look at his son. His son is about fourth grader elementary school, yeah? And he's so short. And if I stand over there, nobody can see him. How can he interpret? So I'm thinking, how can he do it, right? He said, my son can do it, trust me, right? So I said, okay, let me use him once, right? Then I got to speak in front of the desk, in front of the podium. Use microphone over here. I'm telling you, he is good. He is very good interpreter. He's ABC, actually. He was born here. And then I asked his mother, how come your son is so good in interpretation? At that time, he was so young. Now he's getting taller. He's not even qualified to come here yet. He's not even a college kid yet. How come he sounds so good in interpretation? He's ABC. What is ABC? American-born Chinese, right? Then he told me that he makes his son listen to the sermon on the internet. Many of them. He says that, preacher, maybe your sermon, he has listened many of them already. And so if you have a heart, if you have a will, you are able to do it. Chinese people say, 青云有路,自为梯. There's a way to the clouds. That is the will. If there's a will, there's a way. So may God move your heart because this is such an important work to do in the church. So every time you listen to a sermon, it's not only you learn more than the word itself. Actually, you learn about their structure, their style of presentation. What's so good about their styles that you can learn from? This is something that, nothing wrong to learn from other people. We have a very gifted speaker in my generation. He was a very wonderful worker of God. He was. And one day I noticed that there was a young man, right? Went up to the podium to preach. My mouth was open wide and simply, wow. You know why? Because that brother preached just like that old speaker. The way he raised up his eyebrow? Meimao. Raised up his eyebrow, the tone he used, the structure he used, just like another small version of that old worker, right? So I guess he listened to his sermon many, many times. So when he read the Bible, so when he tried to present, naturally he kind of have his 有他的味道, have his taste? Style, yes, not taste. You can taste the old workers in this young boys, young men. He used his heart to learn. He used his heart. And it's admirable. How do we prepare sermons? You know, sermon composed of many, many parts. Let's start with topic, right? When you prepare a sermon, you got to have a theme. Okay, now, what do I speak in my next assignment? What is my theme? When you have a theme, then you will use that theme to come up with a topic. Oh. Now, usually topic, usually for a sermon speaker, weekday night and Saturdays, sermons type could be a little bit different. Like to preach on Saturday really is always have to do with life application, have to do with how people want to know what God wants me to do in my life. What do I need to change, or what God expect me to do? So it's more, Saturday is have to do with more life issues, life transformation. But like Wednesday night or Friday night, weekday night, very likely you want to do a Bible-based, chapter-by-chapter sermon delivery. Maybe, you know, you read sequentially, right? You share with, for example, Book of James, right? Sequentially. Oh. Then people know that every Friday night come here, they are going to know more about the Book of James. Or Wednesday night, they are going to know more about one book. So therefore, weekday night's presentation of sermon will be a little bit different from Saturday's presentation. Because usually people come at nighttime, usually they want to know Bible more. They want to know what does the Bible really want to teach me in my life, right? But concerning Saturday, many people just maybe only come once a week. They are not that serious about the Bible. But of course, our teaching is also be from the Bible. I'm just saying that the way you decided the topic could be a little bit different on weekday nights and Saturday, right? So how do we decide the Bible topic? Let's read Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Verse 2. And verse 3. Okay, so the disciple asked the questions about the sign of the last days, and then Jesus talked about the sign of the last days with chapter 24. The whole chapter talked about it. So what do I mean? How do you decide a sermon topic? That is when you visit the members or you have a conversation with peer brothers and sisters, you realize that they have a puzzle in their life. And then you try to dig out the answers from the Bible. Oh. They ask a question, they pose a question. They have a puzzle. They do not know how to solve the problem in their life. A lot of time at the beginning, actually, I try to find answer for myself. If I do not know, the member's question, I have a question for myself. I found to find, what does the Bible say? For example, I'm very stressed out, right? There are so many things in the church work, just like Paul says. Inside, outside, you feel very burdensome. Then how do you release your burden? Now, you find it in the Bible, and you come up with a topic. Well, just maybe the topic could be as simple as stress management. Stress management. You can find stress management, the word, the truth from the Bible. And it help you, and it might help our brothers and sisters. For example, maybe you realize that some people are very lonely, right? People in this world, especially, we are living in a virtual world. Some people only know how to deal with computer. They do not know how to deal with true human being. So everybody is very isolated, actually. Now, how do you solve this type of loneliness? Then you can come up with a topic to deal with handling loneliness, something like that, right? So this is how you came up with your topic. You try to answer questions that people might have. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 4. Matthew 9, 4. Matthew 9, verse 4. Jonathan. Jesus know their hearts. And then Jesus start to speak something. Huh? So a lot of time, how do we come up with a topic? You pray, right? Jesus knows means that you got a inspiration from Jesus. Huh? Jesus revealed to you because Jesus knows. Jesus knows people's heart. You want to preach something that can be suitable for people in their daily life because only Jesus knows, right? So how do you come up with a topic? Maybe you read Bible, you pray, you read Bible. For some reason, you are touched by one verse. And if you figure out, wow, I really would like to share. And for some reason, God will use your message to edify. Maybe there is someone in the audience that has a need. Let me give you an example. One day, I do not know there was a sister got pregnant, and she really hated to have, because I think she has some child already, and she was very burdensome by her own child, and unexpectedly she found out that she was pregnant, and then for some reason I just share with a story about how there was an elder's daughter got sick, and no matter how she prayed, how she went to a doctor, she never got cured. And later on, she asked the father, "Father, why? Did I did anything wrong?" And he asked the father, "Is it because I complained to God that I got pregnant? And the worker answered, his father is a worker, answered her that, "If somebody give you a gift, even though you don't like it, you still say thank you, right? Huh? You still say thank you. Maybe you don't like it. You still say thank you." Huh? So a kid is a gift from God. Even though you don't like it, we don't complain because really it's a very special gift. Then after she listened to that type of message, she repented, and then God cured her after that prayer. So for some reason, this message was able to be lessened by that struggling sister with new pregnancy. So she was edified. Then the worker do not know who is pregnant. No, this is a secret. No, usually people do not share about it until later on, right? But again, Jesus knows. Therefore, we need to pray hard, and sometimes God will give us inspiration, and we will share the message that will be needed by the member. Let's turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 1. Luke 13, verse 1. Luke 13, verse 1. Duster? Two. Okay. So Jesus used a social event. There was a killing in that generation. Pilate killed some priests. And many people were shocked. How come the government government start to intervene or start to get involved with the religious businesses, and even like a priest, or maybe some priests, is it plural or singular? Anyway, it doesn't matter, right? There was a killing event in that at that time. So Jesus used this type of event, and he started to share the true meaning of tragedy in the society. Huh? Like one of your Q&A, you ask, why good men suffered? Why good men suffered? Did you receive answer yet? Why good men suffered? Somebody already answered it. When? Just now? I was not here. So, similar event like after September 11, right? Now, what can you find a message in the Bible to talk about? To talk about disasters, what does disasters mean to us? What God wants us to learn from disasters? This is a social event. Something happened in the society, and you can find answer from the Bible. Now, for example, there was a wildfire in California, like years ago. Do you still have wildfire in California? Yeah. And there's a severe one, because even in the place I live, right? I live in Temple City over here. Now, when I was here, and the mountain was on fire, right? Even the ashes blow to my backyard. Now, then what people want to know, why there are so many natural disasters right now? The Bible really got answer. Therefore, at that time, I shared a topic, 火是神的仆役, right? The fire is the servant of God. This is directly quoted from the Bible. Talk about how did God use fire in this generation? Because indeed, fire is a servant of God. Let's read Luke chapter 19, verse 41. 1941. 兄弟, 你叫什么名字? 忘记了呢? Charlie, can you read? Yeah.
Jesus waves over to the city. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and waved over.
Jesus looked at Jerusalem. He drew near to Jerusalem. And he know that a few years later, in about 70 after Jesus Christ, 70 AD, Jerusalem is going to be invaded. And many people will die, and therefore Jesus started to wept for that city, right? This is environmental. You went to a place, you look at the environment, you see something, you have some feeling, and you find similar stuff from the Bible, and then you can preach about that Bible messages. For example, I remember on my first trip to Kenya, I follow a senior preacher, and we went to a village, which is a fish, a lot of fishermen, because basically the village is nearby a lake, right? Then the senior pastor flipped to the story that how Peter go fishing, and how God blessed, how Jesus bless Peter, and how he got two boats of fishes of fish. So this is environmental. You go there, you see, wow, the environment is a fish village, and the Bible has similar places, and they got stories about it. Therefore, he preached about it, right? Really, a lot of things are, we really can learn a lot of things. Especially young men are really very creative. I remember once there was a young man follow a preacher to Africa, and there are a lot of coconut trees, right? And then the young man observing the coconuts over there and how people, anyway, the life over there, and then his sermon is simply a reflection from coconuts. He can learn something about from the Bible about coconuts. That's really amazing. When I look at some people, can truly learn a lot of stuff when they observe the environment. For example, this is a generation of strawberry, right? Now you shall become a generation of what? Coconuts. Harder, right? Things like this, you can always learn something from the nature, from the environment. This is how Jesus come to Jerusalem, and then he wait for it, and he say some word about it. So today, we can learn some message from Jesus. So here, how do I go back? Okay, here talk about how to decide a sermon, how to decide on the sermon topic. And then, how to decide on the sermon topic? Then you got to understand the sermon topic have some kilogram. Okay, some category, right? Usually all the sermon can be categorized in these four categories. Some sermon theme is for teaching, maybe a Bible passage. Some is for warning. Babylon, great Babylon is falling. Israel came out of it. This is a warning message. Some of this is exhortation. For example, you join funeral services. People are very sad. Now you got to speak message to encourage members. That is comfort, sorry. And some is for exhortation. Maybe people are sad for some reason. You encourage one another. Usually for sister, when you want to give a sermon, right? It's better for last two. Exhortation and comfort. Teaching and warning probably give to other worker to handle it. Because after sister got married, usually your husband is sitting down there listening, right? So if you are standing there and teaching, it including your husband, maybe not very proper. That's my personal opinion. No? That's my personal opinion. Of course, if you present God, but I still feel like sisters have their roles of sermon speaking. Sisters are like 有母性的光辉, you know? 母性的光辉. How do you say 母性的光辉? Motherly something. Anyway, so it's easy. It's good that you use a soft approach to by the power of God. You can win by the power of God. We can win people's soul through soft approach. Concerning scolding, right? Wake up, man! that type of message, right? If you do not wake up, you will go to hell. That type of message is a little bit scolding or a little bit strong warning, probably for elders or for other type of speaker. So you got to know especially for young men too. I mean, there are a lot of agong ama is sitting down over there listening to you. You know, there are a lot of senior. Your grandpa, grandma is sitting down listening, right? So if you speak sermon like a very harsh, repent, you know, the end of the world is here. And your grandfather is saying that, 臭小子,你在讲什么, right? you are little tiny kids, what are you talking about? I mean, of course we present God, we can speak all types of message. But sometimes also consider when is the proper time to deliver certain type of messages. Understand my point? Okay. There are several precautions. Leave out irrelevant details. Now you have a theme, you have a topic, you have a theme. Do not speak something irrelevant, not related to the theme. You got to really control your time. So when you final check your sermon notes, try to find out If you have any unnecessary message, just like trimming the tree, right? You should highlight it, the major portion. A lot of little tiny detail which is not, cannot be highlighted, cannot support it, the main body, you should trim it. Topic needs to be suitable for listeners. For example, if you teach to IE kids, right, you talk about very philosophical stuff. IE kids can understand. When you go to IETW, they will teach you to use puppy to teach IE kids. No? Puppy? Puppet. Puppet. like use puppet conversation. Yeah? But of course, in this class, it's not very proper, right? It's not proper. So you pay attention to the audience. For example, if you speak to a more senior person, when I was young, I used to speak very fast. And a lot of senior persons simply say, "Hey, young man, slow down. Hold your horse, man." Or something like that, right? So you got to pay attention to your listeners. And of course, when we're giving sermons, we try to encourage. Even we give warning, we don't criticize. We don't want to use too many negative approach, right? Now, if you talk about sermon, you always talk about, "Oh, the church is bad. Look at everybody is late all the time. Look, how dirty is this, right? Oh, there's no one clean the bathroom, right? People have no faith. Look, see, the church income is so low, right?" You always talk about very negative stuff. I'm not saying that you should totally avoid about it, but a lot of time, criticism or negative message may not encouraging people, right? May not encouraging people, especially for young men. We like to share something is beautiful. Look, there's a 90-year-old sister who come to SSC every night, right? Sometimes kneel down every time. Do you see her? What can we learn from her? So you highlighted the beautiful story, the positive image, and people want to learn from it. Of course, the church have weaknesses. If you highlight all the negative stuff, and so what can people learn from it, right? So be very careful about negative stuff. Don't criticize or use use positive tone, right? 不要批评谩骂. Oh, I don't know how to say 批评谩骂 in English. What is 批评谩骂? Anyway, yeah. Next slides. So now you have have a theme. Now you already know how to the direction you want to go. But how do you decide your topic? How do you decide it? How do you put your topic on the podium or on the board? Sermon topic is very important because this is only word you put on the board. People may decide to listen or not to listen. Depends on what you have put on the board, right? I was taught when I was in TDP, your topic words should not be more than 10 words. It is, well, maybe the board is too small for you to write it down. Or maybe it's too difficult to memorize it, right? So 10 words is a standard. Less than 10 words, easier to remember. This is our reference only now. And I think the basic topic is from the Bible. The Bible has so many, many, many wonderful words. If you are able to, nowadays, searching tools are very convenient. You have a theme, you can always use the Bible to search for a more eye-catching topic. For example, one day I tried to preach the story of Abigail. And Abigail is a beautiful woman. See, But most important thing is that she was very smart. And the Bible talk about how she handled things in a very smart way, right? Then I try to search for a topic. I mean, how do I present this lady from the Bible? Then, thank God, I happened to run into, I used the word wise or smart in the Bible. And there's a verse in the proverb says that a good understanding gains favor. Then when I look at this verse, I just feel like it's so suitable to apply, to use it for the life of Abigail. So, yeah, you search from the Bible. That's my point, yeah. Especially many good topics will become from the books of wisdom. There are a lot of wonderful words from the book of wisdom, from book of Psalms, book of Proverbs, book of Job. You have a theme, you know. For example, you want to talk about loneliness. Your topic can be to deal with loneliness, to face loneliness. Or there's a verse in the Psalm says that 黄顶上孤单的麻雀, a lonely bird on the rooftop. Or the same topic, but if you use it from the Bible, a lonely bird on the rooftop itself is a very beautiful photo to me already. It's a very beautiful picture already. So really, I mean, it's good you try to dig out from the Bible to come up with a topic. And sometimes you cannot find direct words from the Bible. What do? Use the main idea from the Bible. For example, let's read Book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, Song of Songs. Chapter 4, verse 16. Song 4:16. Justin, can you read? Louder, please. Can you read once more time? Sorry. Okay. Yeah. I want to talk about the tribulations may bring out good characters from people. A lot of time God allowed disaster to occur. Therefore, your good character can be manifested. If God never tests Abraham, you do not know Abraham's faith is really believe that a dead person can raise up. He believed that God is a God who can create something from nothing and can make a dead alive. But through the story of offering his son, only beloved son, right? Then we can learn this. And that is through God's testing. So God's testing is like a wind blowing into her heart, his heart. And then his faith, the fragrancy of his faith can come out. That is what I'm trying to share with brother and sister. Then I like those verses because north wind actually is cold wind. South wind is hot wind. But when cold and hot blow into the garden, the fragrancy will come out. Therefore, I did not quote from the Bible verse, but the main idea is from the Bible. So the topic is like wind bring forth the fragrancy, right? 风带来香气. So this is another way to come up with a topic. Not exactly quoting, but the main message from a passage you read from the Bible. Another thing is like, the idea is from the Bible, but it simply cannot find any better word. For example, the biblical view, homosexuality, biblical view on homosexuality. Well, you want to talk about homosexuality because nowadays many countries, many states legalize homosexuality. Now, what is the view of the Bible? Of course, I cannot find any direct quote from the Bible, or so we simply say, well, biblical view of a topic. Then we can preach about homosexuality. Any question? I don't know if I have enough time to finish it. Because we only talk about topic. There are structures and there are details. May God help you. You can learn something and you can be prepared to be a worker of God. Let's pray in silence.